Here, John addresses a very real problem that all Christians deal with sometimes, and some Christians deal with often. And that is the problem of the condemning heart.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. I'm Steve Hiller. Glad you're with us today. And Colin, sometimes I think we don't necessarily recognize the condition of what's going on inside of us because we just become so accustomed to feeling a certain way. So how would somebody know if they have a condemning heart? What does that look like?
Oh, well, for example, where you have a regret, you said something that, you wished you hadn't said, and you say, why did I open my mouth and say that? You can't take your words back. You can say, sorry, I didn't mean it, but you can't unsay what has been said, or you hurt someone in some way, and you cannot undo the hurt that was caused. And so you have a sense within your own heart that you have really messed up here. You have failed, and it's like a cloud that is hanging over you. And though you're truly sorry, and though you may have apologized, there's a sense of remaining regret and remaining sadness. And what are you to do with that? That's what it looks like, I think, when our hearts condemn us. And the point that John is making in this wonderful first letter that we're looking at is that the normal experience of the Christian life is that we rejoice in peace with God and forgiveness, and we know that things are right. But then he says, whenever our hearts condemn us. He doesn't say if ever. It's quite clear that every Christian at some point is going to regret something that we said or we did, and we need to know how to deal with that when our own hearts condemn us. Well, John's going to tell us in the verses that we're looking at how we're to deal with that when that arises in our lives.
Well, those verses that we're looking at are 1 John chapter 3, verses 19 to 24. So join us there as we continue our message, Assurance Grows as You Lean on the Word of the Father. Here's Pastor Colin.
Most Christians know what it is at some time or other in our lives to look into our own hearts and to say, how could a person who has thought what I have thought and said what I have said and done what I have done really be a Christian? Could it be that I am in fact deceiving myself and that the truth is not in me? And if you recognize that kind of thought or something of a similar sort, you're recognizing the reality of the condemning heart. And John says, whenever that happens, he's addressing that problem that all of us at some time are likely to face. And it may be that you faced it already, even while the Word of God's been preached this morning. Because, you know, as we looked at these three marks, believing God, loving God, obeying God's commands, there's probably some of us here who even within the last 10 minutes, your heart has been saying as you heard that, yeah, but my faith should be stronger and my love should be deeper and my obedience should be fuller. And even as you hear what is intended to encourage and strengthen you, your own heart's been condemning you right here and now. Now, God's purpose is not that you should live under the sentence of a condemning heart. So what should you do when your own heart condemns you? Now, John gives us the answer, and it is wonderfully clear. Look at what he says about the reassured heart. By this, he says, we shall know that we are of the truth. And by this, we shall reassure our heart before him. This is how we're to settle the condemning heart. This is how we're to deal with the condemning heart. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Now, C.H. Spurgeon, a preacher from an earlier century, has a brilliant analogy that gets to the heart of what John is saying here. So let me adapt it to our situation here in the United States and give that then to you. In our federal justice system, there are three kinds of court. There are currently 94 district courts. There are 13 courts of appeals. And of course, there is one Supreme Court. And the principle at the heart of our justice system is very simple, that if a verdict is given against you in one of the lower courts, you have a right of appeal to one of the higher courts. Now, John is speaking about times when our heart condemns us. And there will be times in your life and in your experience when your heart is like a judge in a district court giving a verdict against you, condemning you. But you see, the point that Spurgeon is making in this analogy is that when your heart condemns you, you can appeal to a higher court. Let me quote what he says. There is another court far higher than the court of the human heart. For God is greater than our heart, and he knows all things. Then he says there are some good Christian people who are always distressed because they never take their case to the Supreme Court. Now, you see what he's saying? The normal experience of the Christian life is that your heart does not condemn you, but there will be times when your heart does condemn you. And when your heart condemns you, here's where some Christians make the mistake. We just sit under the condemnation of our own hearts. Why would you do that when actually you have the right to take your case to the higher court, to bring it directly before Almighty God? Now, you see, this is what John is commending to us. When your heart condemns you, and sometimes it will, here's what you have to do. You bring your case before God. You bring it from the lower court of the human heart to the highest court, the supreme court, the court of God Almighty himself. This is how you reassure your heart in his presence. Now, notice that John gives us two distinct reasons for taking our case to the higher court. Bring your case to God. Why? First, because God is greater than your heart. Look at what he says again. By this, we shall know that we are of the truth. This is how we're going to reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart. Now, these six words, God is greater than our heart, they are God's medicine for the condemning heart. When your heart condemns you, tell your heart, God is greater than my heart. And you see, this is supremely good news. Your heart does not have ultimate authority. Your heart may condemn you, but your heart does not have the final word about you. God can overrule your condemning heart. Your heart's just like the lower court. But God's word is like the Supreme Court. So when your heart condemns you, bring your case to God. Because in Christ, God can and will overrule any condemnation that your heart may bring against you in the lower courts. So bring your case to God. Go to God and tell him that your heart condemns you. Go to God and tell him why your heart condemns you. Tell him all that you have done. Tell him all that you have failed to do. Think about it with this analogy. The first order of business in a higher court is always to review the work of the lower court. What was the charge? What was the evidence? How was the verdict reached? Lay this all out before God. God is greater than your heart, and he is able to overrule the judgment of the condemning heart. Now, someone may ask at this point, well, why would God do that? And the answer is because God sees what our condemning hearts sometimes forget, that we are in Christ. Brother, sister, believer, you are in Christ, and God sees you in Christ. And God justifies those who have faith in Jesus. That's Romans chapter 3 and verse 26. Wonderful promise. God justifies those who have faith in Jesus. That word justify means to declare not guilty. And you see, when God declares us not guilty in his supreme court, all the verdicts of their condemning hearts in the lower courts are overturned and overruled. That's why the apostle says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he says in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You see, the good news of the gospel is that God is for us in and through Jesus Christ. Remember that Jesus Christ did not come into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That is why Jesus Christ, when he went to the cross, took all the condemnation that is due for our sins upon himself, so that there would be no condemnation left for us. And the good news of the gospel is that it is God who justifies. And his verdict overrules any other judgment. No power on earth, in heaven, or even in hell itself can ever overrule the supreme judgment of Almighty God. And that is why the apostle in Romans chapter 8 says, if God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but freely gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? And who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? You see, there isn't a higher authority above the supreme word of Almighty God himself. God justifies you. Who in the world can condemn you? So you see, the verdict that matters most is not the verdict that your condemning heart may pass upon you. It's certainly not the condemning verdict that other people may try to impose on you. It is the verdict of Almighty God, and God justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Isn't that good news?
It certainly is good news, and we'll get back to that good news in just a few moments. You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. Our message is called Assurance Grows as You Lean on the Word of the Father. It's part of a larger series all about the topic of assurance called How Can I Be Sure? And if you ever miss a broadcast in the series, you can listen online at openthebible.org. You can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. You can also listen on demand if you have the Open the Bible app. The app is free. You'll find it at your app store. And you can listen to both this daily radio program as well as our weekend broadcast, our daily devotional, and find other resources to help you grow in your walk with Jesus. Again, the app is free. You'll find it at your app store or tons of other resources available at the website, openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here's Pastor Colin.
Then John gives us a second reason for bringing your case to God. And at first sight, it might look a little surprising, but it's here. Look at it. You bring your case to God, first because God is greater than your heart. And he's able to overrule the condemning judgment that your heart may make against you. But second, bring your case to God because God knows everything. By this, we shall know that we're off the truth. This is how we're going to get there. This is how we're going to settle or reassure our hearts before him. Whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and he knows everything. Now, someone might think, God knowing everything sounds to me like a reason for not coming to him. You know, other people see me at my best, but they don't see the half. And God knows all things. But remember that John is writing to Christian believers. And he gives to us as Christian believers God's perfect knowledge as a reason for coming to him. God's knowledge here is not presented as a reason for fear and for dread. No, the fact that God knows all things is clearly being given to us by John the Apostle as a reason for hope and for confidence. God knows everything. That's why you should come to him. Robert Law, who has written a marvelous book on 1 John that I've referred to before, found very, very helpful. He points here to a story that I think almost all of us will know and remember well, the story of Peter, who at one point denied that he had ever known Jesus. Peter sinned big time. I mean, really big time. And his sin caused him to weep bitter tears of repentance. He must have wondered how he could ever get over what he had done. Why would I have done such a thing? And you remember that when Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to Peter and said to Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter replied, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then Jesus asked him again, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus then asked him a third time, "Peter, do you love me?" And do you remember what Peter said the third time? He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know everything." He appealed to the perfect knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. "You know everything. So you know that I love you. You know my sin, but you also know my repentance. You know my weakness, but you also know my desire. Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." God's perfect knowledge is not a reason to stand at a distance from him. It is a reason for you as a Christian believer to come to him. He knows everything. That means that he knows the work of his Son for you, and he knows the work of his Spirit in you. He knows that you love him. So here is something very practical that is being laid before us today. We're all going to experience times when our own hearts condemn us. And John is telling us as clearly as can be, this is what you do. When your heart condemns you, you bring your case to God. You draw near to God and you bring it all before him because God is greater than your heart and because God knows all things. Let's take this in today. It's medicine for the condemning heart. God is greater than your heart. God is greater than your heart. So why in the world would you carry on listening more to the condemning voice of your own heart than you listen to the word of God? Why would you do that? What would you think of a person who had been vindicated by the Supreme Court and then spent the rest of their lives grieving over the fact that at one point a judgment had once been made against them in one of the lower courts? Well, you would say to that person, wouldn't you? You'd say, my dear friend, you don't have to worry about that now. Your case has been settled at the very highest level. Your case has been settled in the Supreme Court, and any other judgment that has ever been made against you has thereby been vacated. God is greater than your heart. So quit putting your heart above the very word of God. Bring your case to God. And hear the word of grace that he speaks to you in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then tell your condemning heart, Jesus died for my sins and rose again. Tell your condemning heart that God justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Tell your condemning heart that there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Well, who is to condemn? Assurance grows as we lean on the gracious word of God the Father.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith, and that is the title of today's message, Assurance Grows as You Lean on the Word of God the Father, part of a larger series all about assurance called How Can I Be Sure? And if you'd like to get a copy of this entire series on CD, ask about that when you call us at 1-877-OPEN-365. That's 1-877-673-6365, or you'll find ordering information online at openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is a listener-supported ministry. We depend on your generosity to continue to bring you Pastor Colin's teaching each day. And as you give a gift of any amount, we want to offer you a copy of Donald McLeod's book, Faith Undaunted, Embracing Faith and Knowledge in a Post-Truth Era. And Colin, what is one thing that you'd like people to take away from reading this book?
Well, I think Christians will often have heard someone warn against the dangers of just having head knowledge. And that's a very important thing to say. I mean, it's certainly possible to learn an awful lot of things about God, to be able to answer all kinds of quiz questions from the Bible and actually have very little experience indeed. But there's an opposite danger here, that we can actually retreat from truth into the world of experience. So, for example, I remember growing up singing a song about the resurrection of Jesus. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today, and so forth. And at the end, it says, you ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Now, there's a wonderful truth that Christ really does indwell the believer. But is that the only reason for believing that Christ is alive? Just your experience? Are there no other reasons? Is there no objective evidence of the resurrection? Well, of course there is. There's reason to believe. And this book by Donald McLeod is really helpful because it takes us back to the foundations of faith. There really is a God, and there's good reason, evidence for believing in God. The Bible is the Word of God, and there's reason for believing that the Bible is the Word of God. Jesus rose from the dead, and there's reason for believing that Jesus rose from the dead. It's not simply a matter of experience. Faith is based on God's revealed truth, and faith seeks understanding. And I think this book presents that in a really helpful way.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, Faith Undaunted, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can ask about it when you call 1-877-OPEN-365 or visit our website, openthebible.org. Again, our phone number is 1-877-673-6365, and the website is openthebible.org. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible.
Hi, this is Pastor Colin again, and I want you to know about Watch Your Life. Watch Your Life is a six-session course that is geared for leaders but accessible to every believer. The six sessions will show you how to grow in godliness, how to feed on Christ, how to pray in the Spirit, how to battle temptation, exercise faith, and discern God's will. There are questions at the end of each session, and you can use them on your own or you can discuss them with a friend. For more information, visit openthebible.org/courses. That's openthebible.org/courses.